If you will open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 22. Glory to God. Guys, I just want to remind the guys that we're going to have the men's retreat this next weekend coming up, Friday and Saturday. I just invited all you guys to come. I'm expecting a good time in the Lord. I'm expecting God to do some things in our lives change. You know, how many of you know even pastor needs change? Is that right? You guys say, yeah, come on. Yeah, pastor, you got to change. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you know we all need change? Is that right? It's a good thing. Hallelujah. God is trying to change us. Amen? God is trying to get us to see how the kingdom of God operates. Amen? Hallelujah. God is trying to get us to, God, you know what? God was just, when he made Adam in the garden, he was just saying, you know what? I need somebody that will run the planet like I run heaven. Amen? Is that what he's looking for? Folks, and that's what you do, man. You take what God is telling you, and you run the planet. Amen? How many of you guys are planet runners? Come on, you can raise your hand. You know what? God is saying, hey, man, let's run this thing the way the kingdom of God is run. Amen? Hallelujah. You know there's no sickness in heaven? You know there's no. How many of you know there's no divorce in heaven? How many of you know that there... Woo, man, I felt that. That went through. I'm going to tell you, there is no pain in heaven. No, I don't care what the sickness calls itself. It can't come through the doors in heaven. Amen? And that's the same thing I'm doing here. It can't come through those doors. Comes through those doors, it's entering into the presence of God. And I'm going to tell you something. Stuff dies in the presence of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Anything that's not of God, ooh, come on. You got no out of here, man. Hallelujah. I love it. Praise God, man. Hallelujah. So let's go to the Word. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40 is where we're going to be at. Man, I got blessed this morning. Starting at verse 34. Lord, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your Word. I thank you, Lord. Precious. Young man named Caleb came to me this morning and said that God's word is more precious than gold and silver. And I just want, you know, and I said, Lord, your word is precious. So, Lord, help us this morning to find the gold and the silver. Show us, Lord. Talk to us, Lord. Touch our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Starting at verse 34. So, but when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. Hallelujah. I'd like to just go and look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 3 through 6 very quickly. Deuteronomy 6, verses 3 through 6. Jesus was referring to this passage here. And he says, Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you, that you may increase mightily. How many of you guys want to increase mightily? Is there anybody in the house who wants to increase mightily? Hallelujah. That you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, in the land that flows with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And verse 5 says this, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. Hallelujah. How many of you love God? Amen? How many of you, man, I love God. How many? Somebody was telling me the other day, I was talking to him on the phone, and they said to me, they said, by the way, we're not religious. I said, praise God, neither am I. Hallelujah. I said, I'm not religious either. I just love God. How many know that? How many know there's a difference? Is that right? Just loving God. I love God. Hallelujah. And I'm not afraid to tell folks about that. There was a guy at the mine one time. He told me, hey, you know what? I keep my religion to myself. I said, man, okay. I said, well, I don't. And I said, praise God. I love God, and I like talking about God. I love saying things about God. I love the Word of God. Hallelujah. How does God know that you love Him? Hallelujah. Just take a look at this scripture. John chapter 14, verse 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Is that right? Keep my commandments. Do you love God? If you love God, you're going to keep what He says. You're going to keep His commandments. And then if you would put up same chapter, verse 23. I want you to look at this. Verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, how many love God? Amen. If a man love me, how many love God? That's pretty weak. How many love God? Come on, man. Here, wave at me, somebody. Put your hand in here. Come on, man. Help me out this morning. Come on, all right? All right. It says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. Is that good? Is that right? Is that a good word?
Yes.
My Father will love him. And then it says, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Is that all right? How many of you want God to make an abode with you? Some of us say, I don't even know what a boat is. Hallelujah. King James says abode. New King James says, I will make my home with you. How many like that? I like that. And then in the Amplified, it says, I will make my dwelling place with you. Oh, let me tell you. When God is your dwelling place, can I tell you something? There's some great things that happen. There's peace that goes beyond understanding. Is that right? Hallelujah. You're walking down the street and God dwells with you, man. What does fear have to do with anything when God's dwelling with you? How's that work? God says, if you love me, I will dwell with you. And I will make a home with you. How many? Oh, man. Woo! Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's turn to David, and let's turn to Psalms, and let's look at a scripture that passes Psalm 119, verse starting at verse 97. How many like the 119th Psalm? It says here, verse 97. I love it. Praise God. Yeah. Oh, hello. No, that's hey, it's okay, you guys. It's all right, man. Praise God. Hallelujah. Psalm 119, verse 97 says this. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day long. Is that right? Oh, how I love your law. Hallelujah. You know, it's funny to me how some folks will stay away from the Word of God and will not receive what God is trying to say to them in the Word. And I know it's just one of those things that it takes time. How many know that? You got to walk with God a little bit. Once you believe Him for something, wait for it, and you watch something begin to happen. Then something changes in your life. Then you start realizing, hey, you know, the Word of God really is good. How many of you say the Word of God is really good? It really is good. And so it says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies. How many want to be wiser than your enemies? Hallelujah. I mean, stay in His Word. Amen? Made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Is that cool? Why? Because, oh, I love your law. I love your law. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way. Everybody say amen. Amen. That I might keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to me, unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Hallelujah. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Hallelujah. God. Oh, how I love your law, God. I love your word. Amen. Hallelujah. Say amen if you say yeah.
Amen.
How many love God's word?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Make you work this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. But let's go back to Matthew 22, and I want to look at verse, I think it's 29. Is that what it is? Verse 39. He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. How many love that? Love God. All my heart, all my soul, all my mind. And then he says, and then you shall love your neighbor as yourself. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Who's your neighbor? Look at the person next to you and say, hi, neighbor. Hi there. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And then it says that you should love your neighbor as yourself. I want to give you the title of this, Getting to Know You. How many would like to know you? How many know you really well? Do you know yourself very well? Huh. Getting to know you. Hallelujah. If I'm reading this right, when he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind, and then he says, and love your neighbor as yourself, it tells me something, that you need to learn to love yourself before you can learn your neighbor. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah? So you got to know what you're doing. You got to know that, you know, you got to learn to love yourself. How many of you get up in the morning and tell yourself, I love you, I love you, I love you? I know, don't pick up your hands, but I know probably most of you, how you get up in the morning, man, I love you, man. How are you looking in the mirror? Man, you're awesome. Man, look at get up in the morning and say, man, Hollywood's got nothing on you. Hallelujah. Praise God, man. Hallelujah. So just thinking about this a little bit, I wrote this down, this thought. It says, you cannot love your neighbor correctly until you first learn to love yourself. Amen? I mean, praise God. So we got to think about this a little bit. So thinking about it, I went to a website on relationship with you, with yourself, or I was trying to find it. Finally, I hit one, and it's incredible how many things are talking about a relationship with yourself. The name of the website is psycho.com. No, I'm just kidding. It's not. They're crazy, them bunch of folks. How many know without Jesus, it's hard to know who you are? Do you know that? Without him, there's no way that you'll know who you are. And so I'm going to read you something on that website. This is some of the seven ways to start a relationship with yourself. Get your pens out. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to give you seven ways to start a relationship with yourself. Hallelujah. Man. Number one, take yourself on a date. Well, what if I don't want to go? Take yourself on a date. This is help. This is something that the world is offering for people to get help about thinking better about themselves. It's crazy, huh? Take yourself on a date. Number two says this, pick a hobby you've always wanted to do. Number three says, go for a walk. They didn't think very hard on these, did they? Go for a walk. All right, praise God. I do that a lot. I go for walks. Number four says, laugh. Are you guys taking notes? Anybody taking notes? You got to get these, man. Come on. Hallelujah. This is a test next week. Hallelujah. Number five. This one is the one I was kind of... Introduce affirmations to yourself. Here are a few things to say to yourself. Number one, I love you. I love you. Oh, okay. Number two, another thing to say to yourself, it says, I accept you unconditionally. Number six says, spend time with like-minded people. Can you imagine that? You're going to the mirror every morning and tell yourself, hey, I love you. I love you, man. And then you say, well, I got to spend time with like-minded people. You go down to the restaurant, and when everybody goes into the restroom, a bunch of people in there looking at the mirror say, I love you, man. I love you. Spend time with some like-minded people. Amen? That's kind of crazy. Hallelujah. Folks, these are just some, they're trying to help folks. To some folks, this might make sense, but I think in the kingdom of God, it really doesn't make sense. How many of you know that? The last one, number 7, it says, start a gratitude list. And that's good for anybody. Amen? Starting a gratitude list. Just be grateful for what you've got. And write them down if you don't. That's a good one. I think that's pretty good. What it doesn't address is the part that the Word of God tells us the heart of man is desperately wicked. And who can know it? Is that right? It doesn't address that. It doesn't address the sin problem. How many know there's a sin problem? You got to get rid of the sin. You got to get rid of it. Amen? Hallelujah. You all Christians? Amen. Yeah, you're supposed to say, yeah, come on. Get rid of the sin. Come on, man. You got to get rid of it. Hallelujah. And how do you get rid of it? You believe in Jesus Christ. Because he got rid of the sin. Is that correct? He got rid of it. Amen. Hallelujah. So obviously the order is correct. Love the Lord your God. Love yourself and then love your neighbor. Is that right? The order is correct. Problem is, how do you get to know the Lord? How do you learn about the Lord, about the Lord and who he is and how much he cares about you? You go to the Word. Basically, the only place to go is the Word of God. Hallelujah. I could tell you all day long, but you know what? If it's just something about you going to the Word and saying, God, I need you to expose yourself to me. Would you expose yourself to me in the Word? And there's scriptures like, and I got a couple of them, like Deuteronomy 32, verse 3 and 4. If you put that up. Getting to know you, it says, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is what? Perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. And if you put up the one in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says this, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And then we have scriptures where it says that I am your healer. I am your provider. I am a strong and mighty tower. The Lord is. There's all these different scriptures that are telling us who God is to us, describing him to us, so that we might perhaps fall madly in love with God. Isn't that cool? Because he's wanting to tell. He says, look, I am everything you need. That's what he told Moses. I am that I am. Why did he say that? That's kind of a weird thing. But he says, I am everything and anything that you might need your whole life through. Is that okay? Is that okay? God, that's who he is to you. He is everything and anything that you might need. He loves you. And he cares for you. Hallelujah. It's not that we loved him first. He first loved us. Is that right? And gave himself for us. Praise God, man. He loves you. Hallelujah. But you got to love your neighbor as yourself. And I'm going to say this. Sometimes we just don't know who we are. Is that right? Is that correct? I want you to consider a couple of scriptures. We're going to look at this one. Before Christ, the Bible describes us as sinners. Isn't that right? Let's put up Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Before Christ, the Bible describes us as sinners, dead in trespasses and sin. Here's where it says, and you, he has quickened, who were dead in trespasses. Everybody say amen to that. Aren't you glad of that? He says, you were in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. That's what you were. Amen. Hallelujah. But then you gave your heart to Jesus. How many know that? How many say, yeah, I did. How many say, yeah, I gave my heart to Jesus. Anybody here give their heart to Jesus? Anybody turn your life over to Christ? I mean, say, God, take my life. I offer my life to you, God. Hallelujah. You turn yourself over to Jesus. And then he says this, to go to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Then he says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. Is that right? Old things are what? Passed away, and all things are what? Become new. Can I tell you, I mean, I might be wrong in this, but when all your old man stuff passed away, when Jesus died on the cross, and when all that stuff was placed on that cross, when that happened, you became a new person when you believed in it. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That happened. So now our problem is, listen. This is our problem. We don't quite understand who we are, so we keep picking up the old man and bringing him back to us.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You keep looking at the old man. Where God is saying, I'm trying to get you not to look at the old man. I want you to know who you are. That's why this is the name of this. Hey, who are you? He's trying to get you to look at who you are in his eyes. Because that's the only way he sees you. And we're having this problem where we keep, well, the only thing I know is my old man. So I keep picking up the old man, dragging him along with me. Jesus says, hey, let go of that dead guy. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, no, it's time to let go of the dead guy. Everybody say, look at your neighbor and say, let go of the dead guy. He ain't going to do you no good. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get you to look at what he has for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You cannot rely on the old things. Listen to me. You can't rely on it. You just can't. You have to. God is a jealous God. Is that right? You have to rely on him. That's what he's telling you. You got to rely on me. I want you to just back up one scripture, and let's look at verse, I think it's 16, is that right? Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Do you see what it's saying to you right there? We don't know anybody after the flesh. Can I tell you, you can't look at me and know me. You might know me as pastor or whatever. I can't look at you and know who you are. Do you understand that? Because I have to go to God to find out who I am. Is that right? And what I can do is I can go to God, find out who I am and what he's done for me, and then begin to say that to you. Is that okay? Is that all right? Because what he has done for, he's done it, all of us, on the cross. He's done it. It's a done deal. He already did it. But we have this tendency of pulling, dragging the old man. I should have grabbed an old guy or somebody that I could drag and just drag back and forth. Is anybody, Sean, you willing I can drag you back? No, I know. Drag you back and forth. Yeah. Folks, I'll tell you something. We need to quit picking up the old man. We need to quit relying on the old guy. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We must allow God to tell us who we are. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verses 20 through 21. Just a few scriptures down. Just check out. God begins after he tells us you're a new creation in Christ. Do you know that? After he tells you you're a new creation in Christ, old things are passed away, all things have become new. Then he says this, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. There's one of the things you are. You're an ambassador for Jesus. Everybody look and say, hey, look at, man, you're ambassadors. You might not be driving this big limo around town, but you are an ambassador from the kingdom of God. And as though God would beseech people by you, in Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Do you see that? He's telling you who you are. He has made him to be what? Jesus became what for us? Our sins were placed on him. Jesus made him to be sin for us that we might become what? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do you realize why the Bible said in the Old Testament, remember in the Old Testament where if they touched a dead thing, is that right? What happened? They were unclean. Sometimes they had to get ceremonially washed. And I don't know if I said that right word right. Ceremonially washed. They had to get washed and cleaned and everything. See, because a dead thing is defiling the new thing. God is saying, leave the dead thing alone. Find out about who you are. Is that right? Is that right? Just find out who you are. Hallelujah. God has done great things. And we really need to quit looking at ourselves the way we used to look at ourselves. Hallelujah. And let's start begin to look at ourselves as a new creation in Christ Jesus. Is that right? Hallelujah. I remember I was I was cruising along really nice, expecting to get retired, expecting to take it easy. And I had gone and I had seen Pamela's brother, Rodney. I was talking to him and he asked me something. He goes, what have you been doing since we left high school, because we hadn't seen each other for since we left high school. And and I said, well, what have you been doing? He goes, well, he says, the career planner at Bisbee High School said that I would be, Rodney had great grades. He was a smart guy. And he goes, he says, my grades are good. He goes, I can be an engineer or a CPA, a certified public accountant. I said, great, man. What are you doing? He says, well, I'm CPA. I live in Tennessee. And I'm, you know, that's my job. I got a good business going. I said, praise God. That's good, man. And he goes, well, so what'd he tell you? And I said, when I went into Mr. Lugo's office in Bisbee High School, the career planner, when I went into his office, he told me, Mr. Ayala, sit your butt down, okay? Sorry, is that okay to say in church? Okay. Sit down. He gave me this attitude right away. When somebody gives you attitude and you don't know Jesus, what do? Turn your attitude on, right? All right, I'll give you attitude right back. Kind of, what? Sat down. And he goes, Mr. Ayala, that drinking, that car, and them girls. You'll be lucky if you graduate this year. You'll probably be a miner all your life. How many of you guys know I worked in the mine all my life? I jumped up from my chair and said, I'm not going to be a miner. Bisbee was a mining town. Rodney goes, well, what have you been doing? I said, well, I've been a miner all my life, man. And he laughed, and we laughed. The very next day, I was at church. And Pastor David Swift was preaching, and my wife had been talking to me about we need to be doing something besides just sitting down and listening. We need a pastor. No way. Nobody starts pastoring a church at 60 years old. Nobody. And Pastor David Swift was preaching. Right in the middle of a sermon, he tells me, Henry, stand up. I go, he's talking to me. Rosie goes, yeah, I think he is. So I stood up and he says, listen. He goes, I don't know anything about this, but this is what God is saying. He says, you're not a minor. You are a pastor. And God can't bless what you are pretending to be. And it hit me like a hot arrow. How many of you guys know what I mean? God was speaking, and he was speaking hard to me. And I said, "My God," I said, all right, God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Didn't realize that it was a quick transition. It was going to be a quick transition to what's going on now. And you see, I just didn't know that. Maybe I did, but I kept pushing it away. I think my wife knew better than I did. I just kept pushing it away because God had a better plan for me. How many know that? Even at 60 years old, you old guys, hallelujah. God has things for us if we will listen to him and allow him to speak to us. How many know that? Sometimes he says stuff to us and we'll push it away. We'll push it back. I don't know, God, that's not for me. That's for them young kids. That's for them young bucks. No, man, God's got stuff for you. And he's trying to get you to listen to who you are. Is that right? He's got things for you. Do you know it's hard listening to who you are in Christ if you keep dragging the old guy back with you? Is that right? It's hard. It's tough. Hallelujah. I just want to go through a few scriptures with you. Just to, besides you being the head and not the tail. Do you know that? How many know that? You guys are the head and you're not the tail. How many know you're above and not beneath? Is that right? How many of you know that you're blessed in the city? Blessed in the country? How many of you know that? How many of you know that no matter where you go, because of who God is in your life, you are blessed. You are blessed. And the enemy can't touch you. How many of you know that? Hallelujah. You got to get to know that. As it is in heaven, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Is the enemy ransacking heaven right now? Absolutely. Come on, man. So that's what we're saying. Who are you? What do you believe about God? What do you believe that God is saying to you about you? What is it? I can't tell you. I might have a word for you once in a while, like Pastor David did for me. But I can't. For the most part, God wants to speak to you so that you know without a doubt this is what God is saying to me. Amen? Hallelujah. Here's some more things that he has for you. We know that in Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, it says that he has forgiven you of all trespasses. Sometimes we don't realize how important it is to understand that he's forgiven you. Do you know that? He has forgiven you. He has forgiven you. That price for whatever it is that you did, 2000, where are you, Tom? He told me the other day, 1,900, I don't know, I can't remember how many days it was, that in a general area that Jesus died on the cross, your forgiveness was sealed. That way you could go to God anytime, anywhere. It doesn't matter what you did. And go to Him and say, God, can I get you to forgive me, God? And He's going to look at you and say, I already did. Thank you for coming into my presence is what He's saying to you. Come on, man. He has forgiven you. Hallelujah. You are forgiven in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 says, you are the temple of the living God. How many know that? His words coming into your spirit, as you meditate on those words become, they get down inside of you. How many know that? The Word of God says that He writes them on your heart. Amen. You are the temple of the living God. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, you are washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. 1 Corinthians 3:16, once again, I don't know why I put this down twice, but maybe God knows why. He says, know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Do you know that? Do you know it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans 8:37 says this, we are more than conquerors. Romans 8:16 says that we are the children of God. Ephesians 2:10 says we are His workmanship. That's our power verse for today. How many know that you're His workmanship? How many know that you can't even look at yourself? You can't even find the flaws in yourself. You need to go to God so that He can work them out. How many know that? That's what God is doing for you. God wants to be so much a part of you that when people say something about you, you say, man, that doesn't conform to what God has been saying to me. Who I am is important to me. How many know? Is who you are important to you? Is it? How important is it? Oh, come on, man. It's who you are. It's who God says you are. It's what He's telling you about you. It's crazy, man. Hallelujah. You got to believe Him. Amen. Is that right? Oh, you got to believe Him. Can we turn to Colossians? I want to read this one here. Colossians chapter 1. Sorry, guys, I didn't give you that one, did I? I didn't think I was going to go to it. But Colossians chapter 1. How many know there's a mystery out there? How many know that we're living a mystery? Is that right? Are we in a mystery? We are living a mystery. I'm going to tell you, the world looks at us and they go, man, what's with those folks? They're a bunch of mysterious, bunch of whatever, man. Is that right? We're mysterious. Hallelujah. We're living a mystery. The world doesn't get it. They got no idea what we're talking about. Hallelujah. But he says this. Paul is talking and he's talking about his ministry. He says, therefore, chapter 1, verse 25, says, therefore I am made a minister according to dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which has been hid from the ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to the saints. This mystery is being made manifest to who? To us, is that right? It says this, verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Listen to this. Which is what?
Christ in us.
The hope of glory. Folks, Christ is dwelling in you. To think anything different, to drag the old man, keep pulling him back and saying, hey, man, you know what? I'm no good. God's not saying that to you today. He's saying, look at who you are. Listen to what I've been saying to you. allow my spirit to strengthen you and build you, because I do have something for you to do. He does have something for us to do. He is speaking to us. He is asking us to love our neighbor as ourselves. Get to know who you are. That way you can go to your neighbor and say, look, this is what God wants to do for you. He's got greater things for you than you've ever imagined. Do you know that his love washes away all your sins? Do you know that his love takes you out of the pit and stands you on a rock? Do you know that his love tells you that God is your exceeding great reward? He loves you, Cox. Hallelujah. He wants you to know it. He wants you to quit stepping and walking with your old man and start walking with your new man, which is created in Christ Jesus. It's Christ that lives in you. If you agree, say amen. Can we stand? Hallelujah. Let's stand. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, sometimes the gospel is presented in a way where it's just this part where it says, you just get into heaven. Is that right? Sometimes it's presented that all that is, you just give your heart to Jesus so you can get to heaven. And it's so much more than getting to heaven. Is that right? It's so much more. It is what God has called. The gospel of Jesus Christ is what God has called us to in order for us, oh man, to glorify God in the earth. How many are for that? Oh man, hallelujah. Know this, that God's going to use you. I have been praying. Listen, I've been praying for each and every one of you. I have been praying that God would send folks to you. Is that okay? Is it okay? Some of you might say, well, no. I really don't want to say anything. I'm too embarrassed. I want to say, the Word of God says this, open your mouth and I will fill it. That's what Jesus says. Is that right? Hey, if you love God, just be willing to say, hey, God loves you, sister. God loves you, sister. God loves you, brother. Wake up. No, I'm just kidding. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, I know. Hey, God loves you. Be willing to love your neighbor. Amen? As yourself. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you for what you're doing, Father, for your children. I thank you, Lord. Lord, that in this room there are men and women, Father, that don't even know what you have placed within them. Have no idea of the glory of God that's already inside of them, ready to be manifested, Father. So, Lord, I pray, God, that that glory by your Spirit would begin to pour through them. Lord, that they might, that the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ might become so bright in this city that people that have not thought of you, Father, that the Mormons, Father God, that the Jehovah Witnesses would be drawn to the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For Father, you have come into the world to save sinners. And God, that's what we're here for. We are working with you, Father God. We thank you for it. We praise you for it this morning. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen.